Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray together? Oh Lord, what a morning. Because we are able to meet this new day, realizing that you are so great, that you have sent your Son to be our Savior, and that you will walk with us, Lord Jesus, while we are here, with always that promise that when these days are done, we shall live with you forever. God, we pray that you will sustain us in that grace and comfort us with your holy word as you teach us through that means of grace today. We ask it in your name. Amen. In my prayer, I thought of an announcement that I had forgotten. It's very important. The end came for Christina Lynn, 96 years old, on Friday. And her body will be laid to rest in the chapel tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Tuesday in the chapel here at the home, at the church at 2 o'clock. Tuesday in the church's chapel at 2 o'clock. 96 years old. I have a question for you. What does the new morning bring? That's a question that would bring forth a number of answers. Because the new day has different experiences for different people. That thought flashed my mind. A week ago yesterday, as I was privileged to go again, I've had that opportunity now several times, with the UNI football team, this time to Kinnick Stadium, to watch UNI from the ground, from the bench, with the team, play the university. It was a real day. As I drove a road on the bus with a team from Cedar Rapids to Iowa City, I had to keep pinching myself. How many people in this United States, or in this state at least, has that opportunity? Very, very few. You know, there's a lot of fanfare with it too. I have never in my life been escorted that many miles by a highway patrolman. And there they were, their lights were flashing. And you know, when you get to Coralville on a day when the university is playing football, it takes all the religion you have to get there, the rest of the way, doesn't it? But whammo, we went through there and we blinked our eyes, and there was the dressing room for the visiting team. And then you go down in that dressing room. I can't explain it to you. Last week when we were riding up to Rochester, John said to me, "Tell me how it feels. What's it like?" It took me from here to New Hampton to tell him, and I hadn't begun. You can't explain it. Here are these young men. They are really emotional. But they express their emotions in such different ways. It is really interesting. Any person writing a PhD in psychology certainly ought to spend a few hours in the locker room before the game, just to see how it's as quiet as a mouse. It's as quiet as it is here in this church. And then you watch those coaches. Now, what little I've had to do with coaches from my high school career, and that's not a great deal because I was not much of an athlete, they were always burning us out, chewing us up, cussing us. Oh, man, they did everything. Have you ever had any experience like that? Not these people. No, they were encouraging, instructing, and supporting that team. It was a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous day. And I am so thankful for those opportunities. Now, that was a new day, September 9th, for me, in the backyard of Kinnick Stadium, is University Hospital. And in there, there are hundreds of patients. The new morning is quite different. They're hurting. Some of them have terrible pain. Some of them have great anxiety. Some of them are very depressed. And beside their beds are those loved ones. I'm out there enjoying the day, and they're there suffering. What does a new morning bring? Many of you have looked into the faces of your children this morning. I stand here in the pulpit and look into their faces. How blessed we are. They laugh, they cry, they talk, they're healthy. You got a child by you that's healthy. You thank God. That's the way you met the new day. And we take it for granted, don't we? I always did. Supposed to be that way. But last Sunday afternoon, as we went up into the garden by St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, sat there, beautiful afternoon, the waterfalls are there, gorgeous flowers. And here came a father pushing a wheelchair. 8-year-old Andrew. He was there because of a brain tumor. His first hospitalization had 105 days with it. And now he was back to have some more bone fused into the back of his head. And we had a little talk with Andrew and his father. I tell you, that's emotional. How you started the new day with your healthy child, and how Andrew's father starts the new day with that child. Every morning is different. It's different for different people. And so we ask the question, what does the morning bring for you? Life is not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We intellectually realize that, but emotionally we don't, people. We don't. Life is not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's not going to continue. Here we have no lasting city, but listen to this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Open your Bibles when you get home and read Hebrews 13:8. That's the verse. If you don't have that committed to memory, commit it. You can't afford to go without it. Jesus Christ is my one stability. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. He never changes. What a blessing. For in the twinkling of an eye, life can change. Laughter can turn to weeping. And believe me, plans that are written in stone can be crushed in 2 seconds forever. That's life. And in the midst of all of this, there is a great deal of insecurity that floods our soul. Where do I turn? And the answer is to Christ, the changeless one. That's the message that we have. That's the message that we have to bring from the walls of this church to the streets of this community and around the world. Christ alone is the one who does not change. If our lives are built on his promises and we live in a personal relationship with him, we will weather the storms in bad days as well as rejoice in the sunshine during good days. And that's a biblical statement that you and I need to live with and really believe. So our Lord Jesus Christ was preaching his Sermon on the Mount, and he used a lot of illustrations. And what he is saying to them in this text that Pastor Colt has read is, build your house on the rock. Now we know that Jesus, for the first 30 years of his life, was a carpenter. There in Nazareth, he had a great deal of experience with what went into building. And so as he preaches then this sermon, he says to them, now look, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation, the rock. Jesus, commentators believe, had in the back of his mind when he uttered these statements what it was to live in the valley. If you wanted to buy a lot in the Judean area, the place that you would like to go to buy it would be in the valley. It was there that the rains had come, and the grass was green and the flowers were beautiful. And you think, my, I will build my dream house here and here we will live as a family forever. But the problem was that when the seasons changed, the rains came and there were floods. Now, if you built your house there, certainly you wanted to make sure that the house was built on the rock. The rocky foundation, if you went down far enough, you'd find the foundation. There you build it. But if you just decide to go in and build a house with a very poor foundation, it would soon be gone. Jesus takes that and he says, this is exactly the way that life is spiritually speaking. There are so many foundations that we can build upon, so many things that look so good, so many things that bring so many pleasures at the present time. Nothing wrong with them in most cases, except they have no depth. And when the storms of life come, these lives collapse. It's just as if something has hit them and they know not which way to turn. And even while we walk here on this earth, we are in desperate need of crying out to someone, anchor my life, anchor my life. And that is what Jesus Christ is trying to do. The storms of life. And I worked through this a little bit during the week, and I've tried to take some storms that come to us and see if we can make it just a little bit more concrete and a little bit more specific as to what our Lord is really talking about. So in the outline, there are some scripture passages that are by far the more important. Let's take a look at some of these storms. The thunderheads may darken my soul with guilt. But God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. This is from the psalmist David. He had committed terrible sin, as have most of us, all of us. He knew not which way to turn. How do we live with our guilt, friend? Well, if you have built your house upon the sand, the only way to really deal with it is to project it and to give it to somebody else, to deny it and say there is no such a thing as guilt, that this is just old-fashioned legalistic Christianity and it doesn't really work in our day. There are sundry ways to deal with guilt. Alcohol, drugs, whatever else it may be. Just have a new change of scenery. You get over your guilt, all right. That's building your house upon the sand. God in his word says, when the thunderhead of guilt comes, There is only one way to deal with it if you've built your house on the rock, and that is to confess it, as did David. And as St. John writes in his inspired word, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. That's the reason for the cross. Jesus went there to suffer and to die in order that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and that we can look at the thunderheads of guilt and cry out, I have gained victory over it, for in Christ my sins are forgiven. That's the rock. That's the rock. When anger and revenge threaten to destroy my soul as a hurricane with its mighty winds, poisons my mind with hate, God gives me a firm reprimand. And what is it? Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Getting down to the nitty-gritty, isn't it? Beautiful passage of scripture here, but we have to really take it apart. When somebody has done something to me and it hurts me and it hurts me real bad, what is the natural reaction? I'll get even. I'll plow him. I'll do it in one way or the other. Ever had that experience? Some of you got that this morning when you come into this church. There's someone that you might as well admit it, not only dislike, you hate. You're going to get even with that individual if it's the last thing you can do. If that's your case, you have built your house upon the sand and it's going to collapse. You can't live that way. So what is it that the Lord says in his reprimand? And he reprimands us out of love. He really takes us often and he says, now look at here. I got to straighten you out. I'll take care of that person. You love him. You forgive him. Friend, that's very direct. And that speaks to all of us here this morning. If you sit in this church today with that kind of a hatred feeling in your heart, your house is built on the sand and it will collapse. I don't say it. God says it. Can't live that way. When the blizzards turn off the bright lights or the entertainment world and locks me into the loneliness of my soul, Christ is there to be my constant companion. You know those winter nights? The roads are blocked. I can't get out. Quiet. May take one night of it. Drives me crazy. Cabin fever. Can't eat any more popcorn. I'm alone. Hard to be alone sometime, isn't it? The psalmist writes, as I lie in bed, I remember you. All night long I think of you, because you have always been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I turn, I sing for joy. I cling to you, and your hand keeps me safe. When all the bright lights are out, when no longer can I entertain myself and I lie in bed alone, the experiences of just lying there to think, who takes me by the hand? God. For he is the rock. We're never alone. The funnel-shaped cloud of the tornado sends the fear into my soul that our family will be destroyed by the temptations of the day. But God's word gives me confidence. Oh, you take a look at these young people. And we should not just limit it to young people, but I ride by that high school every morning. See them going in. Marvelous, marvelous people. But they live in a world of temptation. impurities, morally speaking, perhaps such as we have never known before. Not that we didn't have it in the past, but it is so wide open today. And everything else that goes along with it. And it's like a tornado funnel. Boy, before we get through here, our whole family could be swept away with temptation. Not only our children, but ourselves. But God has a word for us. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you want your child to stand the temptations of tomorrow, there are a few things that you can do. They don't always prove, I know that. But one thing that you can do is train that child in the way of the Lord. Sure as the Sunday school, the church, the wings of Vacation Bible School, but the home, where dads and moms look into the eyes of their kids and tell them what Jesus Christ means for them. You know, one of the serious problems that we have in Nazareth Church, I've been trying to figure out where this church attendance is and why it's sort of plateaued. I've made one great discovery. I don't know why I should be so dumb that it took me so long. Most of our children never go to church. You dump them off in the Sunday school classroom. That's a crude word. You leave them in the Sunday school classroom, and you come to church. Fast fix, 1 hour. And I realize that some will argue, but there is nothing that they gain by sitting in church. They can't understand what you're saying. Some screwy psychologist told them that, whose family could be a part itself. I get a little bit warm on this one. Don't tell me that there is not some influence. On the front seat sits a little girl with her grandma and her grandpa, and she will never forget it. She'll never forget it. Take those children to the worship service. Then take them to Sunday school while you go to worship. You go to study God's word. Are we that all fired, important, and so busy that we can't give him 2 hours on a Sunday morning? If you are, you're building your house on the sand and it will collapse. Now, it isn't that we don't know, people. Is that we don't have the intestinal fortitude to do what we know is right. And here comes the collapse. I know it isn't a cure-all. I realize that. But at least you've done everything you can. So when I take a look at that funnel cloud, I can hear the word of God saying to me, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with a temptation will also provide the way to escape that you may be able to endure it. He will give you grace as he does me. Finally, the earthquake causes my little world to crumble as I am told of failing health and apparent death. But when that word comes, then the word of Jesus is here. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And so when my little kingdom has come to an end, and they all come, don't they? When they've all collapsed and I leave every blessed thing that I have behind, kin and treasures, that's an earthquake But I look into the face of Jesus. If I trust in him, and he says, come home. He is the rock that will never fail us. Life is not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but God is. No matter what the morning brings, he walks with you. He'll ride with you into Kinnick Stadium, but he will sit beside your bed at University Hospital. That is not theological jargon. That is the experience of millions of Christians on a daily basis. Believe me, my friend. Believe me. It is true. Build your house, your spiritual house, on the rock. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.